You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. In our study of the Gospel of John in the upper room, as just a handful of hours, literally, before Christ is crucified. And in the process, he is giving them the needed encouragement and understanding of what lies ahead. Now, having said all that and done that a little bit, we're in chapter 15, and we were down in verse 17, 18, 19. And I'll read that if I may. "These things I command you, that you love one another. And if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Now, having said that, So in the process, the Lord is helping them understand they're going to have a very unique relationship to God, like he has. They've been with him for 3 1/3 years, but all they can do is be with him. Everything and all about him, his relationship in his perfect humanity with God is his. And all the benefits and everything belongs to him. They can only be in his presence. He is about to go and die on the cross, and they're going to be his witnesses to bear witness and record of his wonderful person and work. And they're going to have a relationship to God that he has. And therefore, they need to understand that relationship to God is going to make for some problems, because it is the same as for himself. Himself, they were not happy with who he was and what he did, and therefore they are not going to be happy with the disciples, the apostles, the believers, the Christians. Not going to be happy with them. And therefore, keep in mind, the issue is not us humans. Not us humans. It isn't us humans that the problem is. Humans are quite comfortable with humans, within reason, but not with God. So now, just to remind you, in chapter 14, if I can, and in verse 15, you will note, "If you love me, you would keep my commandments." And I want you to know that I'm just reminding you of each thing. It's a relationship to him. The problem is, for us humans, if we're going to be related to God, and God is going to do a wonderful thing in our life, and he is, then we ought to understand that God, we look to God, we love God, we're glad to, we see him as creator and savior. In fact, to do this differently, we're coming right back here. Over to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. When a boy or girl, man or woman, receives the Lord as their Savior, when that happens, they enter into a unique relationship with God, made possible by his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, so here we are. I'm going to take that and let God say it to us in a way that we can understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you will know, please, verse 3. "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest," reason, "the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So the whole issue is to avoid light. Hang on to that. The problem is an issue with light. We read in 1 John, as you read, verse 5, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Now hang on to that. Now, so what is the world system? They don't want to be in the light, exposed to the light. Where is the light? the light comes, for down to verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ. God in Christ. That's the issue. So when he is, God is light. Christ is the light of the world, John 8. And he's the light. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive light into your life. Or, / you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light. Now, when you receive the light into your heart, and you're going to what? Light is there to see, to understand. Without light, we can't see. We can't identify anything without light. And without light, it is called darkness. That's the law of just science. That's what you know. No light, no see. Now, so in the light of all of that, our Lord Jesus Christ is the light, and when you receive him, God brings that light into your life. What does the people, family, friends, loved ones, everyone around us in the world, something happened, and you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior properly and rightly, and so that you could know the Lord as your Savior, which is what it's all about anyway. So when you did that, you entered into a life relationship that includes light. And men don't want light. Where is the light? It isn't us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, God in us. He is light. And as we look to him, then that light is going to be, we're enjoying the light, A, and we're going to be different because we're walking in the light. Now, back over, if you would, to John and chapter 14 and in verse 15, we read together, if you love me, sliding if I can, to verse 21. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So, verse 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, etc. And you're going to, without just making a note of your in your heart and mind, chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, abide in what? In my love. Abide in my love. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. And as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. So it's because you receive the Lord as your Savior. And it makes it's a whole other world. It makes you different. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully different. And being different is never popular. Think of a henry where all the hens are there and they're all the same kind. And you bring a hen into it of a different color, different brand, different color, and bring that hen in. You won't be surprised if the other hens go after it. That's what they're going to do. They're going to go get that hen. It's different. They see it's different. They know. The chickens know chickens. And therefore, different. You're different. You know the wonderful thing. When you come to know the Lord, he sanctifies you and sets you apart. And the word sanctified, be holy, holy, sanctified, set apart, is all the same word we're looking at. And be holy. And then he says in Peter, for I am holy. Now that puts you on the spot. It's the right thing to do. You don't want to do less than it. But you need to understand. You're going to be different. Because it's light. Now, and light is God. God is light. And light helps us with everything. Down to verse 18. chapter 15. If, and the first class condition, if and it's true, if it's true and it's true, the world hates you. The world hates you. Know that it hated me before it hated you. And coming in verse 19, if you were of the world, and you're not of the world, the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, and therefore the world hateth you. So we have to understand the problem. To come to know the Lord as your Savior, and to begin to enjoy that wonderful relationship, to go from death to life, it's going to involve a reaction. A, you're going to have to walk in the light, and B, the world doesn't want to see the light. So you need to have that in your mind and heart. If you don't, you won't understand what God is saying. He isn't saying you're hated or we're hated. He's hated. And when you have a relationship to him, it brings what? He brings light. He is light into your life. And when he brings light into your life, there's going to be a reaction. Now, I have a little light. We're good. Oh, put a little flashlight. And here you are, if you would, as a believer. And as a believer, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, we'll turn the light on. See the light. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, he is light. So when I receive him as my Savior, the light comes into my heart. What came into my heart? Light did. When I received him as my Savior. Now, here's the light in my heart. Now, you know the expression, I don't want to get sidetracked. You understand, when did you ever hear anyone say, turn the darkness off?
Are you familiar with turn the light on and off? But you never heard him turn the darkness off. Light, it's light. What do we need? Without light, you cannot see. Do you understand that? You can't see. I was trying to think of ways to illustrate. When the doctor goes down with a doojiggy, or they go in there with their little tubes and do whatever, and they do that. Now, if they don't, I assume, I've never followed this, but I assume they have to have a little light, because when you slide down, it gets awful dark in here. Do you understand? And you go past the esophagus, you go past the tube, the flap closes, and you're in the stomach, 10 inches long. There you're in the stomach. Now guess how dark the stomach is? You couldn't even guess. It is completely in the dark. Your stomach is completely in the dark. And if they don't have a little light, I got to tell you, all they're looking for, whatever they're looking for down there, they aren't going to see a thing. They aren't going to see it without light. You can't see without light. Period. Now, help you. Here's my light. Here's the light. The Lord Jesus Christ comes into my life. Now, I want to go and put out the light. Now, I'm going to put out the light. I'm holding as tight as I can. Is the light out? Is the light out? Can I put it out? No matter how hard I try, I can't change Jesus Christ, God, in my heart. He's light today, tomorrow, and forever. He's light. I can't put him out. I can't make it dark. All I can do is turn away. And when I turn away, I want to get the light out. I don't want what? If I walk in the light, you just read it in 1 John 1:7. If I walk in the light is going to what? And when it's shining this way, I walk in the light. That's what it is. Every dark, it's dark, dark, dark. But it's in me, light, 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 light. And when the light's in me like this, it tends to shine out. And the world hates that. When I start thanking God, trusting God, my life changes, my language changes, everything changes. And the world hates the change. Why is it changing? Because of the light within me. You understand? And you can't put it out. So that's why it says in Galatians 5:17, the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. The old nature loves darkness. And your relationship to Christ is light. And it's a conflict, Galatians 5:17. And you have it because of light. You can't put it out. So you can't live the same old way. You could do the same old way, but then you lose. And you know you're losing when you live in a wrong kind of way as a believer. You know you're losing. And you know that. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, back over to John 15, if you're still there. We're looking at the word hate. And the word hate, your Old Testament, it's from the Old Testament, the word is. And it has to do with hate. It has to do, the Old Testament word, to reject, to despise, to abhor. And the root, as we shared last time, is to thrust away, to push away, to separate. That's the root of the word. To reject, to despise, to hate, to have contempt for. To reject with disgust is the word. The world doesn't want it. The world doesn't want light. And as long as you do whatever, and we should be doing whatever, we have to understand if God is going to do a work in our heart, and we ought to let that happen, and God is going to do a wonderful thing with light in our heart and head, and therefore we should not be surprised if people say, you're just like in Peter, the world's going to say, you used to be able to run with us and drink with us and do with us, but you can't anymore. Why don't you? Why don't you? And like Nicodemus of old, he compromised because he didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue, etc. Is what he did. So he did that. But he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. So now, here we are looking, and God is going to go, and we share together. We share together that before the cross, Jesus sent them out in Matthew 10, and we did that. And they were to go to every village up and down the land as they were, and they were to shake the dust off their feet of the house, of the town, of the village that wouldn't receive him. And God gave them warning, God gave them understanding that they would not be well received, not by everybody, some, but not many. And then we shared in chapter 24, the tribulation is going to be the same thing. And they're going to hate believers, going to hate them. 144,000 Jews, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to hate them. Now, having said that, so all of that, God, we better do it, though. John chapter 1. And remember, in verse 5, we shared together, and the light shineth in darkness. John 1:5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, did not seize it, did not grasp it, could not overcome it. The darkness hates light and tries to do everything it can. But you know what? No matter how much it does anything, you can't put it out. You can't. I could take this light, if I could, and it was waterproof, and I could bring it down to the great 7-mile depths off the coast of Chile and
South America and over in Philippines there, whatever, 7 miles down, I guess it goes, whatever. And it's dark down there, dark. There's a little light, though, and the God made the fishes and the things to be able to live in that darkness. We couldn't. But you know what? If I put this light all the way down into the darkness, it'd still be lit. Still be lit. So no matter how much anything comes against you, in you, around you, no matter how much, it can't put out the light. At least start with that. It can't change God in you. It doesn't change truth in you. It doesn't change anything. So no matter what, physical, spiritual, material, in the world, you can't put out the light. You just can't do it. You just can't. I need to know that. So that God didn't get clipped because this thing happened to me. God didn't get clipped by it. The light didn't change. God didn't change in you. So you need to see that and understand it so you don't get overwhelmed with something. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and God is light and him is no darkness at all. And God is doing what he does because he is light. And while you're here in John, with no loss, over to chapter 3, and you must lock it in to your head and heart. Then you, once you get it locked in, you'll be able to go with it. And in John chapter 3, keeping in mind, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, judged on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that believeth not is condemned already. And why is that true? It isn't because of their lifestyle. No, it's because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why is that? And this is the condemnation, the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because the deeds are evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. They hate the light. They hate the light in you. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying to you. There's no way. You're going to be hated. Well, say, I'm going to do everything to keep you. Well, you may try to get along and block it out and cover it over and do whatever you can. Can't put it out. And you may not be. It may not be. You may have a lousy testimony like Lot. Lot had a lousy testimony. True? And yet Lot was a righteous man, which we would never give him credit for, but God said he was. He believed God. Lot did. But you know Lot, did he bother people while he was in Sodom and Gomorrah? No. No, he just adapted and adopted. That was his problem. And if he had honored God like Abraham, he would have never been accepted in Sodom. He would have never been there. He wanted to be caught up in it. So if you and I want to go, and we that doesn't mean you go out and try to be a stick your, to use the illustration. You don't go and try to stick that in everyone's, in their darkness, you shove it at them. You don't do that. You don't do that. No. No, you are light. And you walk in the light as he is in the light. And as you do that, you're going to walk reasonably and rightly, trusting God, and you're going to go down the corridor of time and do so. And you're going to relax and do so. And you're going to trust God, and you walk in the light, and God's doing wonderful work, think of Sunday school, in the light of God's wonderful knowing everything. And he's doing a wonderful thing in your heart and life, and it's outworking it in the light of everyone else doing what they're doing all around you, but God's doing with you and in you, around you, as you walk to work and home and school and do whatever you're doing. And all of those things take place. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, so men love darkness rather than light, and God is light and him is no darkness. Now, and we share together that there is no middle road. There is no middle ground. There isn't any. There is no middle. No matter how you do this, light. The reason you'll see, and I'll use an illustration that you probably do yourself, in the light when it's going into bed or something, whatever you do, and in the light, I turn the light out, and I stand a minute. What am I doing? Adjusting, my eyes are adjusting to the lack of light. But there's always light there, enough for me to see without stumbling over something. Because there's always enough light. It's when there is no light that's darkness. So we have light, and that's why you see. Without it, you can't see. You don't understand that. Colors. If you didn't have colors, you couldn't tell anything. That's how you do it. Now, here we are. God, it's us humans. So God, here we are going down. And in the process, there is no way. Matthew, you don't. Well, we'll turn there. Why not? Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, may I pick up, please? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, you'll remember. Again, 24, chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve, be a slave to two masters. He will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and things you're trusting in. You can't do that. You can't do both. You just can't do it. If you love the world doesn't, that's fine. But you can't, either you love light or you love darkness. How's that? Either you love light or love darkness. You can't have both. There's no middle ground. There's no halfway house. There's no dim, because there's a little light in dim. There's a little light for to see. So, God, there's no compromise, no halfway house. No, there's no solution. It's either dark or light, a little light, something. It has to be. So therefore, when we receive him as our Savior, God does a wonderful thing. And we're to keep the light, walk in the light. While you're here in Matthew, hang on, it'll help us immediately. Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, would you please be reminded about light? And may I go, please? Our Lord said it in verse 15. 5:15, Matthew. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, lampstand, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You don't light a light and then cover it so it can't get out. You want the light to shine. That's why you light the light. That's how you're going to walk in the light. Otherwise, you're going to try to walk in the dark. And if you walk in the dark, you cannot love. You can't love. How can you love your brother? How can you love anything? Because you're in the dark. The only way you can walk is in the light. And that's what you have to have. In a wonderful way to walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, and you got to shine. So if I'm going to let it shine in my heart, watch. How do I stop it from shining out here? If I'm going to walk in the light, trusting and thanking God, somebody's going to know it somehow, aren't they? Aren't they going to know I'm walking in the light? I'm not walking like they are. They're all doing what they're doing. But I don't seem to be on the same page with them. I don't want to be on the same page with them. I want to be a testimony to them. So now, having said that little bit, and in verse 19 we read, if it is not true, you were of the world, but you're not of the world. You're not of the world at all. So now, therefore, let's go back over to that. We need to go back over. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And you will note. John chapter 15 and verse 19. If and it is not true, you are of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you. And but means you're not of the world, but that which is even more important in the movement of thought, I have chosen you. I've chosen you out of the world to be in the world, but not of the world. I've chosen you. I've made the choice. And therefore, this the world's going to hate you. Because, why did you get chosen? Because God chose me, and I know he died for everybody. But they don't want to know. They don't want to be saved. I do. My mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, they may not want to be saved, but I want to be saved. I do. And therefore, I'm going to be saved. And God has to help me now in everything that I'm going to do and try to do. Over, if you would please, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and picking up in thought, so you see it. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, if I may. And you would recall, in verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? They don't go together. The minute the light's on, the darkness is gone. It's the way it is. Do you look to God? What did you get? Did you get any answers yet? No. But boy, you got light. You got light. At least you can see. At least you can see God. You can see some comfort. You see God. Without the light, I can't. So God, what fellowship hath light with darkness? Verse 15. What concord hath Christ with Belial, the devil? Demons. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God, you want us to stay in the light, and walk in the light. What's that do? God, what does that fix? It fixes my eyesight as I walk in the light. And I see what? I see myself. If I say I have no sin, I deceive myself, and I make God a liar. When am I going to say that about me? In the light. I'm not going to say it in the dark. That's why I like the dark. I can protect myself and cover myself. And I don't have to be realistic about who I am and what I am. I can sneak through life and compare myself and do all the things we do to survive. But if I walk in the light, I'm going to see. And 1 John 1:7, 8 and 10, I'm going to know my real condition. Do I really need to be saved? Absolutely. Absolutely. From stem to stern, from bow to whatever, top to bottom, I need to be saved. I need to be wonderfully saved from my dumb thoughts, from my dumb words, from my everything. And I know that. How do you know that? I'm in the light. Do you understand it all? Can you handle it all? No. The blood of Jesus Christ is what? It's cleansing me. So I don't have to sit down and figure out all my stupid thoughts or things I do or don't do. No, God has delivered me, rescued me. How? In the light. Otherwise, I don't see. I like the darkness, because then I can reason out and feel and talk and think and do and whatever. But in the light, I can't do that. I can't do that in the light. So I like the darkness. Wow. And that's what I do. So now, so God, verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. A unique, wonderful relationship. And if you say, who's your father? God's my father. Now you already have fathers of some kind or sort. You had to have to get born physically. But those fathers, that's us guys, disappear. No, when I came to know the Lord as my Savior, I came to know the Father of all fathers. And I'm locked in. He's my Father. And when you say that, what do you think you are? Think of, if you would, without turning there, in John 10, 33. What was their problem? You being a man, remember, make yourself God about Jesus Christ. You being a man would dare be God? And you being a lousy sinner, have God as your Father? Uh-huh. Absolutely. Absolutely. In the light. In the dark, but in the light, you betcha. You betcha. You bet. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Now, having said that a little bit, so, and you know, in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, of deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, God. So, God, here we are, and God, you're telling us, we were in darkness, God saved us and brought light into your life. You're in a world of darkness, not the sun. The sun shines, all that. No, not that kind of darkness. It's a spiritual darkness, the absence of life. We call it death. When a person's dead, what do we look for? We go and look for the doojiggies. What are we looking for? We're looking for some kind of what? Life. And if we can't find any life, we call them what? Dead. That's what we do. That's what we do. We can't find any life. That's what we're looking for. So therefore, in God's wonderful kindness, we're going to walk and we live in darkness, a world of darkness. Can't do all those things. Think of Luke and that. The power. The Lord told the devil, to the Jewish people, you are now under the power of the darkness, the power of the evil one. Wow. But we walk in the light. And walking in the light, the darkness can't do a thing to us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, it can't do a thing. No, it can't. It can, no matter what it does. And I could say all kinds of things and do all kinds of things to me, around me, and in me, my old nature. But I'm sorry, in the light. You can't turn off God's saving grace. You can't turn off God's wonderful person and presence. God gave me eternal life so that I would not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life and eternal life, eternal light, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in closing, where to go, if we can, over to Romans. I'll do just a beginning, a little bit. Now you want to know, if you were living in the days of the apostles, as we're reading, and that, the Roman Empire was very, very, very activated. And the Roman Empire, we can't do it all, but you get some of it anyway. The heart, we're living in a world of darkness. The world loves darkness. Doesn't mean they don't think. It doesn't mean they don't have brains. It doesn't mean they can't go to the moon. It just means they don't have a relationship to God. They're spiritually dead. They have no light, no light at all. So now, here comes the Roman Empire, which these people are living in the days of the New Testament. And they're living in that Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire is all about the Roman Empire, Pax Roma, peace, the peace of Rome, and the vast empire from the Euphrates all the way to Britain, and Britain, from Britain down to North Africa. That's the Roman Empire. And it was at peace, peace. And who made Caesar, who made Caesar God? The people did. They loved peace. They were protected. The whole empire and the Roman army would be wherever they were needed to give them peace and protection. So when the Christian comes along, and they have what? Well, they've got a problem. One of the things they had to do, as this became the thing, that all these different countries and peoples, tongues, languages, and all of them there. And in the process, what do they have to do? Well, in order to line up, everyone wants to know Caesar. That's why they worship Caesar. Caesar is Lord. Why do they do that? They gave him credit for something because he represented the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire gave them peace and protection. It was a wonderful thing for the Roman Empire. And they did that. So in order to make sure that no one was lousing it up, they went and you had to burn incense, a little slip of paper, and you had to put incense and you burn the incense and you say, Caesar is Lord. And that's all you had to do. You could still be religious. And whatever, when you want, any way you want to live, just make sure you burn the incense and make sure you say, Caesar is Lord. And that's all we want. Everyone line up with Rome. Be in agreement. What was the problem? The Lord Jesus Christ comes along and he enters your life. And you discover he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And now comes the terrible conflict for the Christians in Rome. Caesar is Lord. No, he is not. Jesus Christ is Lord. And they wouldn't do it. And persecution, hatred, way up to here. Do you understand? They wouldn't yield. All you got to do is say Caesar is Lord, but he isn't Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord and life and light, period. And there isn't anyone else, and there isn't anything anywhere else, you see. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to Philippians. I don't have time. Well, I would have time, but then you'd all yell at me if I took, you know. So we'll just be 35 seconds more, maybe. Philippians, what do you know? Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto, for what purpose? Unto death, even the death of the cross. He had to die for the sin of the world. That's right. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Remember that's what Acts 2, he's Lord, he's the Lord in Christ. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, think of Isaiah 45, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And once they locked onto that, the fire and the lions and the persecution and the hatred. What's wrong with my religion? It isn't your religion that saves you, it's Christ that saves you. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever you want. It isn't that, what isn't that doesn't save you. Christ does. Well, what's wrong with my Methodism? You can be, whatever. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior and you haven't received Him, you're not saved. Well, I don't know that I like that. And therefore, here's my dear grandmother make-believe. She won't give me any more oatmeal cookies because I don't agree with her. You see? She's wrong. She needs to be saved. Well, I got to quit. I appreciate your patience. I hope you got in my wandering. You got a little bit. Hate night. Hate, they're going to hate you. But they aren't going to hate you. They hate me in you. And you aren't gonna put me in the corner. Well, watch. I don't want to have this light, so I think I'll put it in my back pocket. Yes, eh? Back pocket. No. No. No, I'm going to keep the light. I love light. And so do you. You love light, physical light, because without it you couldn't see. And you love it from using the word love, don't you? Don't you? You want to see, and you don't want to be in the dark, and you don't want to be in the dark spiritually. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and just the Spirit of God, here we wandered a bit and trying to, God help us, to get a little understanding of what you're trying to help us understand. There's no way for us to have a wonderful relationship to you here and now without the world getting upset because they don't have it and don't want it. But God, you do. You want it for them, but they don't want it. So God, here we are, your witnesses, bearing record and witness as we walk in the light, as thou art in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. Thank you very much, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.